My guest at this time is Dr. David Curry. He is president and CEO at Open Doors USA, an organization dedicated to serving the persecuted Christian church around the world. For 15 years now, Open Doors USA has published the World Watch List, which chronicles the 50 nations imposing the worst persecution upon believers around the world. The 2018 edition was released Wednesday. And Dr. Curry, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
You and I have discussed this list several times in recent years, but please give us a brief reminder about the criteria you use and how you calculate and determine the 50 nations that make this list and where they rank within that 50 positions.
Well, the important thing to know is that this is data from the front line. So we're not just talking to religious leaders in these various countries, but from the ground up. It's a grassroots effort. And we're trying to measure what it's like for a Christian minority in the Middle East, in Central Asia, in Asia, and all over the world. So we measure the pressure in the private sphere of life, the governmental or national life, the violence level. In some places, it's very violent. And in other places, there's no violence, like, say, for example, Saudi Arabia, but there's also no control and no outward manifestation. So there isn't any churches to bomb in Saudi Arabia. That doesn't make it any more difficult.
North Korea is number one yet again. As long as we've been doing these interviews and looking at this list, it seems like it's been number one, meaning it is the worst. But Afghanistan not only shot up to number two this time, it is only 1 point behind North Korea, and I'm guessing that's not because North Korea got better. So what's happening in Afghanistan?
Well, what you have in Afghanistan is that the Taliban has extended their management of a larger portion of the country. So they control somewhere around 47% of Afghanistan now. So in these tribal regions run by the Taliban, very extremist views, you just have a very difficult position for anybody who has any alternate views. Under Sharia law, what people need to understand is that the Taliban and Islamic extremists see themselves as judge, jury, and executioner. So they will just execute somebody who commits their life to faith as a Christian, and that just makes it exceptionally difficult. It's not alone. On the top 10 list, 9 of the top 10 have Islamic extremism and Islamic oppression as a driver. So North Korea is really an anomaly in the sense that you have total government control, an old school communist system where the leader sees himself as a god, but he acts like an animal, destroying his own people. It's a shocking situation.
You mentioned 9 out of 10 feature Islamic repression. I remember last year, I think the number was 35 out of the full 50. That was a common factor. What does it look like this year?
Yeah, it's the overwhelming majority has Islamic extremism as a driver or some kind of extremism. Let me show you one that's slightly different. India, which most people would never think of, is number 11 on the list.
Right.
We think of Gandhi. We think of a friendly country. We do business with India. But there's an extremism, a Hindu extremism, which is prevalent throughout their government now. Prime Minister Modi, his entire party, the BJP party, has committed to a one religion policy, a nationalistic push that says, if you're not Hindu, you're not an Indian. Meaning we're forcing everybody by 2025 to be a Christian. So they have a very radical policy that has brought a lot of injustice, more attacks on Christians than ever before. Let me give you one story of injustice in India that gives you an idea. A nun, not unlike Mother Teresa, committing to working with the poorest of the poor, in this case in a medical clinic, receives threats from extremist Hindus who said, we don't want you here. We don't want you helping the poor in Jesus' name. So they followed through on their threats. They raped her. They drugged her. They left her unconscious on a tied to a bed. She wasn't discovered till she failed to show up for a Muslim prayer. And what did the police and the local authorities do? They destroyed evidence the court has shown, and they let the prisoners, the attackers, go. There's no justice for Christians in India right now. That's why they're number 11. Take that shocking story in contrast to the fact that there were 635 Christians held imprisoned without trial in India, a democracy. So it's very difficult in India right now, and it's an extremism. It's a nationalism, but it's not around Islamism. It's around their radical nationalistic ideology.
And they've shot up the list in recent years. I know there were 15 last year, but they were quite a bit further down the list until recently, right?
And I believe they could, you know, they're obviously, yeah, absolutely. In 3 years since the BJP party has taken over, it shot up the list, and it could be in the top 10 next year.
Wow. Well, let's talk about a neighbor of India, because there aren't that many countries that are on the list this year that weren't last year. But one of them is Nepal, and it's not only on the list, it's all the way up to 25. What's going on there?
The same element of this radical Hinduism is prevalent in Nepal, and that's why they went from being off the list to jumping up the list. What you have is a blend of governmental governmental and police forces looking the other way if extremists attack churches, attack Christians, beat up pastors, rape, all manner of things going on. That's happening in Nepal just as it is in India.
We talked about some of the things that are getting far worse here, Dr. Curry, but there is some good news because, of course, the last couple of years we've been talking about the horrific repression imposed by ISIS in Syria and Iraq. And obviously, due to military action, ISIS controls far less territory than they did just a year ago, much less 2 years ago. And so as a result, Syria is out of the top 10 and at number 15, I believe, this year. Iraq still is in the top 10 or the worst 10. How big of a difference is ISIS getting rolled back making there?
There is some good news in the list. Unfortunately, that's not one of them, because here's the factor in Syria dropping. A lot of Christians have left. Mm. ISIS is rolling back, but don't be deceived. Their ideology of hate is alive. So you just have fewer Christians in Syria. You have ISIS contracting there, but ISIS and their ideology continues. They don't need a capital. They don't need territory to cause problems, and that Islamic extremism has metastasized all over the world. So in that sense, it's not good news. But the good news is there are countries on the list that are making big efforts. Vietnam, even though they're still ranked very high at 18, has made improvements. There's progress there for religious liberty and religious minorities in Vietnam. So that's an improvement. We see Tanzania and others that are dropping off the list, as others have jumped on it. So there are things going on. Governments are taking a look at this and saying, we don't want to be on this list. What can we do to help religious minorities in our culture? And we stand ready to help them. That's what this is about.
I want to talk about two other places before we let you go here, Dr. Curry. One is Turkey, which kind of bridges Europe and Asia. They keep getting higher and higher on this list, which means worse and worse. Last year, they had just cracked the top 40, and now they're at 31, and obviously things are getting worse there.
There's an American pastor there held prisoner as in hostage diplomacy. You have this regime that has buckled down on religious liberty, trying to become more of an Islamic state. Turkey has always sort of bridged the East and the West, and now they're tilting towards a rule of Muslim domination, which is forcing them to restrict religious liberties for Christian minorities and other minorities. So Turkey is a big challenge. It's a NATO, part of this alliance of NATO and so forth. We need to encourage them to open up religious liberty for everyone within their country. It's going to be one we're going to discuss for years to come, I think.
My last topic is eventually going to be the Western Hemisphere, but I just noticed something on the list here that I hadn't seen before. There's communism, there's Islamic oppression, which makes up a lot of these different reasons for the amount of persecution in these countries. Another one, and I guess it varies from country to country because some are more atheistic and some are more Islamic in nature, but the category description is dictatorial paranoia. Explain that a little bit.
Well, that's when you have a Kim Jong-un who sees himself as God, where he's trying to crack down and force obeisance to them and to the government. But it's not just North Korea. You have places like Eritrea, Sudan, where you have these dictators who are threatened by any idea other than that they're God. But here's another trend, Greg, that is shocking in this year's data. Women, Christian women, are the most vulnerable population in the world. We can show with data so many sexual assaults, so many forced marriages. We had a 14-year-old girl walking to school in northern Nigeria, kidnapped, sold by tribal Sharia law for $160. Her parents had no legal recourse. This is happening over and over again. 2,260 cases that we can document. And these are hardly ever reported. It's a massive problem against Christian minority women, and it needs to be addressed by the international community.
Last year, that we noticed there were a couple of Western Hemisphere countries on the list, and they're still there, namely Mexico and Colombia. Mexico is actually into the 30s now. And you explained there that it's basically Christians who speak out against organized crime and so forth, and obviously that's getting worse.
It remains a significant factor. People see Mexico and Colombia. They think, well, aren't those Catholic, Christian-dominated countries as far as the culture? Absolutely. But when you have these drug cartels who want to stifle the negative statements of pastors and priests, they take action. They kill these pastors. They kill these priests. They make life very difficult in some of these areas where the drug cartels run, and that has shot them onto the top 50 of the World Watch List.
Now that the list is out, what do you want the response to be, whether it's from individuals, from churches, from governments? What are you hoping to see in response?
Well, really, there's a bifurcated response. We want the government of the United States and Western countries to make this part of their diplomacy, part of their commerce strategy. There are countries on the list that we do billions, nay, trillions of dollars of business. India, Saudi Arabia, you just go down the list, and yet they don't have any freedom for religious minorities. There's no church in Saudi Arabia. There's no printing a Bible, reading a Bible, deciding for yourself what your faith is in Saudi Arabia, in these countries. So it's significant that government can do something about that. And they're spending our tax dollars on this. But really, this is a first and foremost a wake-up call for people of faith in this country and people who believe in freedom of conscience, that we need to let our voice be heard. Share these stories. Share it online. Share it on social media. Talk about it every church, every Sunday. Should be praying for one of these countries, one of the stories, a pastor, American pastor, held in Turkey, the nun attacked in India, the 14-year-old girl sold into marriage against her will. Pray for these people. Let's think about it. Let's not let it drop off of our consciousness.
And if you go to opendoorsusa.org, you'll not only find the list, there's a fact sheet and a full report on each of these 50 nations with a lot of important information. And as Dr. Curry explained how you can pray, I know our church prays for a nation each week throughout the year, since the 50 correspond pretty well with the 52 weeks of the year. So, Dr. Curry, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Greg. Bye-bye.
Dr. David Curry is president and CEO at Open Doors USA, an organization dedicating to serving persecuted Christians around the world. For more information on the World Watch List for 2018, again, opendoorsusa.org. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.